Welcome to Dream University's Dream Talks, a series of conversations and interviews with thought leaders in the dream movement. Sit back, relax, and learn.
But today we have the privilege of being with a dear friend, a colleague, a visionary speaker, a woman after my own heart, truly a big dreamer, Cynthia Kersey. And I'm sure you've seen Cynthia on the Oprah Winfrey Show. She's the author of the best-selling book Unstoppable and newly released Unstoppable Women. She's the president of her own company, Unstoppable Enterprises, and she was also the National Foundation of Female Legislators 2001 Entrepreneur of the Year. She's a national columnist, a fellow speaker, an author, a big dreamer. She's a highly sought-after speaker, and she's inspired people all over the world, from top Fortune 500 companies to direct selling organizations. And today we're going to talk to Cynthia about her secrets and the unstoppable traits that top performers can use and also teach her groups and organizations, which includes an unstoppable mindset, one that's really about increasing productivity and performance, growing your organization, and, of course, creating results beyond your wildest dreams. Cynthia, welcome.
Hi, Marcia. Thank you so much for having me on your call.
Well, I totally do feel like you and I are sisters and kindred spirits. Do you feel that way?
Are you kidding? It really is so synergistic. You're really helping people get clear on what their dream is. And, of course, Unstoppable is all about creating the resilience and the mindset that enables people to make it happen. So we absolutely are joined at the hip, and I'm so grateful to be able to be a part of what you're doing and support your participants on making their dreams a reality.
Well, I'm also thrilled to introduce you to them, although many of them already know you because certainly you're on the circuit. But those who don't, right off the bat, if you want to go to Cynthia's website, it's unstoppablewomen.com. Cynthia, you have been obsessed with Unstoppable since the day I met you, which I think we go back well over 10 years.
We do. You know, it's interesting, Marcia, is you are one of the people, I'm sure you recall this, that I called when I was thinking about writing a book. And how many, it's like even now, I get people probably almost every day who call me. And just in a very similar situation, what I appreciated about you is, number one, you took the call. And secondly, you were so encouraging and supportive, because I called a lot of other best-selling authors, and it's fascinating to me how people can be in this business, and yet they kind of, maybe they want to protect other people, or they're projecting their own challenges onto other people, but you're one of the few people who really held for the possibilities for my dream. And I really appreciate it, and I'm very grateful. And, of course, I am obsessed, and if that's the word we want to use, I'm very intrigued and curious about what enables people to be unstoppable. You have this dream, you have a goal, and how do you get from the inception of it to working through the challenges and the struggles to create that reality in your life? And, of course, I've had the great privilege now of almost 10 years of interviewing these people and to found what their characteristics are that enable them to stay in action long enough to make it a reality.
Well, we want to hear what those are. I want to just add a little caveat, because we have so many people. First of all, thank you for remembering that. I totally remember that conversation.
Uh-huh.
And I knew you were unstoppable from the day that I met you, so I figured I might as well get behind you. Because you were embodying so many things that a dreamer, that successful dreamers embody. You were unstoppable. You had a passion, you had a vision, and you weren't just talking about it. You were in action on it. Mm-hmm. And that always gains my respect. I just want to say, because we have so many people who are members of the community who dream of writing a book.
Yes.
You know, the way to write your book is to start writing it.
Right.
And I had the privilege, a ways back, as part of the Dream Circle community, we interviewed Sam Horn, who's one of the founders of the Maui Writers Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam spoke for a whole hour about how she just meets thousands of people who are thinking about it and never doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on this call and you want to be inspired, you can go listen to Sam's talk. It's an archived dream talk on how to get your book out of your head and into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Miss Cynthia, tell us about some of those unstoppable traits.
Well, the first thing, and clearly it's something that you outline in your book as well, is first off, you have to get really clear on what it is that you want. You know, most people don't get what they want because they don't know what they want. You know, William Marston's a prominent psychologist. He asked 3,000 men and women, what have you to live for? And 94% of them, 94% said they had no definite purpose. So if we want to move out of surviving and into something that is so much bigger and meaningful and satisfying in our lives, we have to get clear on what it is that we want to create in our lives.
And Cindy, before we move on, because I just want to, that's such a critical point, because most of the people I meet, just as you were saying, don't know what they want. And I think it's because we're so mired in reality.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I wanted to ask you your opinion about that.
Right, because it's everybody wants to make some change in their life. Everyone, if you have a pulse, you want to create some change. It's really just how we are wired. And the problem is that we might feel too overwhelmed, too undisciplined, and it's all based on the past, right? I mean, especially for women, I think, you know, it's like, how do you fit sleep into the schedule, much less one other thing on the to-do list? And so what we've done before is we've had these things that we want to do. We create a list of 10 things, and then, you know, within a week, 7 of them have fallen off of the list. And so what I found is important is that people are stoppable not because they're inadequate, but it's really because of their approach. They try too many things at once. Research proves that the most effective way to create lasting change is to focus on one thing, and to take it one step at a time. And that's really what Unstoppable Women, my latest book and my latest audio program, The Unstoppable 30-Day Challenge, focuses on. Because anybody can take one step. Even the busiest person could take 15 minutes a day maybe to declutter their house or to work out or to start educating themselves on an investment program. Anybody can fit 15 minutes. And you all, of course, you know, Marcia, what happens when you do 15 minutes of something, you're like, wow, I'm getting into it, and you do more. But the first step is to not let your past dictate what's possible for the future. You go, I know what I want, and I'm willing to step into it and to commit to one action every single day. And as you create a success imprint, and you start seeing some success, you get more confidence, and you're able to continue to expand that.
And I love that, because for me, the dream movement, of course, is about stop just talking about it and thinking about it, do something. And I love what you're saying, that one step, that one small step moves you from being stopped to being unstoppable. Or as I say, you're no longer just, you're demonstrating that you're more committed to your dream than you are to your fear, doubt, or reality by taking a step forward.
Exactly. And what, you know, and I'd love to talk about raising your unstoppability quotient, which talks about that, but it's kind of like...
Yeah, please do.
Do you want to do it now?
But do you want to give us another trait or two and then go into the quotient?
Yeah, okay. So once we know what we want, you know, the next thing is you've got to get your leverage, your motivation, which is the why you want it. And so, you know, these things seem so primary and so fundamental, but I'm sure you've experienced, as I have, when I'm coaching achievers. I mean, I'm coaching people who run their own businesses to executives, and they're not clear. They want to go to the next level in their business, or they want to write a book, or they want to make more money, and they're not clear on why it's so important for them. And if you can attach the purpose, the why, how will you benefit? How will it impact your self-confidence? And what will it cost you? Our emotions drive our behavior. And what's interesting about human nature is most people are driven more on the cost, what it will cost them if they don't do it, than the joy of what will happen if they do it.
Mm.
So it's critical to look at, you know, what motivates you. Mm. And focus on that. But the why is real important. You know, it's interesting. I had, there's this, a woman in my latest book, Unstoppable Women, Michelle Hoskins. I love this story. We're talking about taking one step. Michelle is a manufacturer in Chicago. She makes her great-great-great-grandmother's honeycomb syrup. And so she gets this dream of seeing this syrup on all of the tables in Denny's, 1,700 restaurants worldwide. Now, Michelle wasn't remotely prepared to manufacture, much less distribute, her grandma's, you know, great-great-great-grandmother's honey cream syrup. But she believed that once she got the contract, she'd figure out how to do it. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So what she did is she made her one step that she would call Denny's every Monday morning at 10:30 a.m. And everybody at Denny's got to know Michelle Hoskins. And they didn't know what to do with her, right? So they would say, oh, that sounds great. They would take her call. They would say, Michelle's on the line. Who wants to talk to her today? She talked to receptionists, secretaries, procurement, diversity. And every single time she called them, they said, oh, that's great. You know, send us your syrup. It's awesome. We'll get back to you. They never got back to her. But she held on to that dream. And after 2 years, Marcia, 2 years of calling consistently every single Monday morning at 10:30, Denny's reorganized. And they got a new CEO, Jim Adamson, and he heard about Michelle Hoskins just like everybody else in the company did. And he said, why aren't we giving this woman a chance? And she won a $3 million contract delivering her great-great-great-grandmother's honey cream syrup nationwide to Denny's, all because she believed she could do it and she was committed to taking that step consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Do you love that story?
Fabulous story.
You know, because what happens is people try something 3 or 4 times at best.
And give up.
Oh, it wasn't meant to be. You know, and actually what they say now is that the average sale takes 8 attempts before you can even get through. 5 years ago, it was like 4.2 calls. Now it's doubled because there's so much competition out there. But our mindset is like if we don't get through in 3 or 4 times or if somebody tells us no, we quit.
Right.
And it's like that's why the results speak for themselves. So if we want to be unstoppable, if we want to create a life that's meaningful and a dream that excites us, it's critical to know what you want, why you want it, and then you break it down into the one single step that would jumpstart you and move your life forward and get into action.
Very powerful. And simple.
Simple.
You know,
simple, but
right? We have a saying around here that we like, you know, how does it, you know, easy but not necessarily simple. Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
You know,
well, simple,
I mean,
but not easy is what
you know,
I
you know, whichever
it
way
works.
It is. I mean, the whole idea is that, you know, can we just break it, just do something. But the amount of energy that we take in complaining,
jeez,
and being busy and being distracted and
mm-hmm.
false sense of urgency, you know, that one phone call that this woman made every day
mm-hmm.
completely wound up transforming
her life. A week.
For I'm sorry, what?
One call a week.
A week.
A week, every Monday morning.
There you go.
But she was consistent doing it,
there
which actually goes to another step in being unstoppable and creating a breakthrough in 30 days, is to create a support structure. Because, you know, this, what do they say, the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And it's all about creating an environment for yourself that virtually forces you to do what you really want to do. I do this all the time. Anytime I want to create a change in my life, I think, okay, how do I find the structure to make sure that I do it? So, for example, I wanted to do more cardiovascular exercise. And I thought, well, I already had a trainer at the gym, right, for the weights. But I wanted to start running. And I did some research and found out about Team and Training. And they literally train people for marathons. Now, I wasn't all that excited about running a marathon, right? But I love the purpose behind it. You raise money for the Leukemia Society. You're supported by a team of people. And guess what? You have to show up. And there were many Saturdays when I would have preferred going to a dentist and getting a root canal with no anesthesia, right? Or no, I mean, it was like hours. It was the hardest thing I ever did. But I created a structure, right? I started raising money. I tell everybody in my database, you know, this is what I'm doing. When I'm speaking, I'm raising money. And I've got this team of people. I can't flake out. So I think it's a very powerful strategy. Get a partner. With a 30-day challenge with Unstoppable Women, I suggest that people get a partner. And every day they check in for 5 minutes. This is my one step I'm committed to. And did I do it or didn't I do it? And if I didn't do it, what am I going to do differently tomorrow? And if we can find ways to hold ourselves accountable to the behaviors that will move us forward. I think that's kind of where the magic is. It's all
well, we
about
have a lot of people on the call who are coaches.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been all over the country speaking to professional coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly what I love about the whole coaching industry, whether they're a certified dream coach or a life coach or an executive coach, is that it's all about accountability.
Yes, it is.
And you and I know that it has been tried and true and proven that people who make a promise or a commitment to someone else are that we're more likely to keep it.
There's no question about that. As a matter of fact, you know what, they've done studies about coaching. And they say that for every dollar, coaching, that process of accountability, will, for every dollar that you spend, you get $5 back on results, productivity, and an increase of sales and productivity. So I know for me, even one time, I paid a speaking coach, this is no lie, $4,000.
I worked with that guy.
For one day.
Well, and what would you say the outcome is?
Well, you want to hear, again, it goes back to something so simple. This is when I first started, and what I got out of that one day, because, I mean, what, you know, okay, $4,000 for one, what can you really get in one day? But what I got from him is that he reviewed my tapes, and he's like, oh, Cynthia, you're really great. You know, look at how you did this. He helped build my confidence.
That's priceless.
It's priceless. I mean, I'm like, gee, he must know what he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
And it was that investment, and it was that, I mean, think about mentors. I have so many mentors in my life where they believed in me, their belief for me kept me going until I actually believed in myself. And so I think it's powerful to find mentors, models, and people who can continue to see the possibility for our lives, as opposed to our own inner voice. One thing I talk about in my book is using our internal caller ID. Right? We have two different voices that's going on all the time, the voice of fear and the voice of faith. And I'm sure you talk about this in your work as well.
Absolutely.
But the voice of faith is that optimistic voice of what's possible for our lives. And the voice of fear, unfortunately, is the most resilient voice. As a matter of fact, you know, they said it's estimated we have 65,000 thoughts a day, and 95% of those thoughts are the same thoughts over and over and over. And most of the thoughts are thoughts that abuse us, that make us feel like we're not enough, that make us feel like we can't do it, in their lives. And using our internal caller ID, we need to start noticing what voice is talking to me. And if it's the voice of fear, right, we got to have a tool to manage that. Because if we take that call when it comes in and we start listening to that, how will that voice move us forward?
And, you know, there's this wonderful quote where Khalil Gibran says that doubt is a feeling too lonely to know that faith is its twin brother.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you're talking about, these different voices. Which ones are you turning up?
Yeah.
Which ones are you turning down?
Right.
And if you turn the voice of the doubter, that annihilating voice, down, it often becomes the realist that just wants to know the plan. But left unmanaged, it can just run amok.
Right.
You know, and also, you know, in the world of being unstoppable, I mean, you don't want a fear voice to be driving the car.
Well, if it does, that car's not going to get very far.
Yeah.
It's going to run out of gas and go over the road and start rusting, and it's dead on.
And
right?
Find every obstacle along the way.
It's true.
So, I totally understand. Tell us a little bit about the quotient.
Oh, good, good.
Because, you know, we'll open up the call.
It's
the second half, we'll open it up for questions.
That. I love this motto. It was actually developed by Albert Ellis, who is one of the leading psychologists of the 20th century. And I kind of modified it a little bit, and I call it raising your unstoppability quotient. So what is that? Your unstoppability quotient is your ability to overcome setbacks. How quickly do you overcome a setback and move into action? And the faster you do that, the higher your unstoppability quotient. So there are five steps, and it all goes back to our ABCs. I love this. I use this every single day. And this tool can help you eliminate the giving up cycle. Is that exciting?
Yeah.
I know. I love this. I just love it. Anyway.
Four.
Okay, so step number one is adversity. Adversity is the triggering event that happens when we're on our dream, right? When we're on our path. So, you know, maybe you fail a test or you don't, the loan doesn't come through, or maybe you're in sales and you're calling prospects and they don't call you back. So it's the event that triggers something in you. So it's just the what happened, okay? That's adversity A. B is belief. What is the belief? What is the meaning that I attach to what happened? So let's say, for example, you're in sales. You call a prospect five times, and they don't call you back. Using your voice of fear, what can you make that mean?
Oh, you could make it mean that you're worthless,
right,
that they don't want to do business with you, that it's the end of your, that you're going to fail, and it was a bad idea anyway.
Exactly. And with that kind of a belief, C is consequence. What is the outcome, either emotionally or behaviorally, of a belief, you know, it's never going to happen, I'm not good enough, the product's not good, they're never going to buy my stuff. What's the result, the consequence of that belief?
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's where most people...
To quit, to give up.
Right.
Abandon the dream.
That's where most people stop.
Right.
Something
right.
happens... They make it mean, you know, they're filtering it through their fear. I'm not good enough, smart enough, don't have the resources. What was I thinking? Whatever. And it's game over.
Right.
The next step, and this is where the magic is to dispute the belief. Now, if I was walking downtown and some drunk in a gutter yelled out to me, Cynthia, you know, you're a loser. What are you doing? It's never gonna happen in your life. You're never gonna make anything of your life. You know, how would I look at that drunk? What would I make what he said mean to me?
Yeah, well, I somehow, say it again, with which voice?
Well, yeah, no, with any voice. He doesn't even know me, right?
Oh, right.
He's a drunk in the gutter on
right.
the street.
Right. I would just say, what kind of crazy guy is that?
Exactly.
Know, you roll your window up and you want to keep going.
Perfect. But what happens, Marcia? Is our ravings to ourselves are as baseless as a drunk in the gutter. We're harder on ourselves than this drunk in the street. And what happens is we believe it's true because, after all, we know ourselves, right?
Right.
And isn't it true that there is enough evidence based on our past that we could prove anything? You know, have there been times when you've been really, really disciplined? Yeah.
Sure.
And are there times when you've been a complete flake?
Sure.
Absolutely. So which voice, which interpretation, this is all that matters. I don't care how many times you've been a loser or you quit or whatever. What voice will move you forward?
That's right. The one that's really the advocate, the one that's the believer, the voice of faith and hope.
Exactly. There's no value in listening to the other voice unless you just like to have pain and suffering in your life.
You know what? I'll actually suggest, I think you're right. I think when it's at that level of extreme, mm-hmm. it brings pain and suffering. I do think that when we can learn the skill of modulation
mm-hmm.
and turn that voice down a little bit, that it often has really good questions and insights. But I think what happens is, for most of us, it starts out, some mm-hmm. of us, it just starts out yelling.
Well,
or muffled.
Okay.
And we want to hear it. Like, you know,
right.
like it somehow has the power and it somehow is more knowledgeable and wise
right.
than the voice of my heart and my soul. And,
yes.
You know, it's just amazing to me. And what I have found is that when people completely turn their voice on their, turn their back or annihilate that voice of the doubter,
yeah.
it can get louder and it can get bigger.
Well, it's possible.
I think you're offering is this discernment process.
It's right, because it's the same thing. When you say modulating or whatever, it's really still disputing the voice.
That's right.
It's just looking at it and going, is that really true for me?
That's right.
And what is a different interpretation? I think it's the same thing. It's not like you're ignoring it.
Exactly.
You're just disputing it and seeing it for what it really is.
Well, I think that one of the most essential steps that you're really suggesting here in disputing it mm-hmm. is to recognize
yeah,
it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think we walk around as sort of unconscious of it, reacting and responding, killing off our dreams.
Yes.
Or, you know, we've got a list of 10 things to do on our to-do list. We don't do the most important things.
Right.
We do the easiest things.
Right.
I'm guilty of that myself.
Right. Oh yeah, me too. And when you look at what's behind it, you know, and I go, why am I not willing to make those calls? What's really behind it? You know, our belief drives our behavior.
Right.
And what's a huge epiphany for me is I go, why am I not making that phone call? Gee, do I really think I'm worthy, right? Is this really good enough? It's all of those beliefs. You know what I'm saying? In that moment, if we are willing to look at it and recognize it, then we can simply change it and move on.
Cynthia, what's one of the unstoppable traits that you personally struggle with?
I do all this. The key thing that I work on constantly is my voice, right? I mean, that's something that I'm constantly becoming aware of. So, you know, that's why it's a big part of my book, is it's like, you know, I'm really hard on myself. I'm a perfectionist. So I remember the first couple of years, at least the first full year of speaking, I was in pain. Right? I get out there and speak and, I wasn't good enough. And I mean, there's still painful moments, but it's not the same. And so what I've done is I'm working to be easier on myself, to not demand perfection, which is a complete illusion anyway, and to become aware of the voices that come up for me, because I would get discouraged. I would feel depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got clear on, gee, why am I feeling depressed? A great book is Martin Seligman's Learned Optimism. I love that book.
And what did you pull away from that?
This, what I'm talking about, he cites Dr. Albert Ellis's work as well. Optimism is a skill. Some people are, you know, born more optimistic than others, but it's a skill that we can learn. And I realized that when I was feeling depressed, it wasn't just because I was chemically, you know, people say, you've got a chemical imbalance and stuff. It was what I was telling myself. So as soon as I became aware of that, when I was able to shift the internal conversation, I was able to feel more invigorated, to stop being so hard on myself. I work on it all the time, not being so hard on myself.
How do you do that?
Well, I tell you, you know what's really fascinating is, first off, understanding that we're all on a journey. So the whole notion that I need to be perfect is ridiculous, because nobody is, and that will do nothing but create suffering for me. So what I do see is my truth of who I am, walking, I feel like I really walk in authenticity. My life inspires people because of my struggle. If I didn't struggle, who would be able to relate to me, right? It would be exhausting. Like,
absolutely.
Oh, well, what does she know? She doesn't live my challenges.
Right.
So that makes me feel good, and knowing that what I'm doing makes a difference has created enormous joy. And then also just understanding that it's a process. I don't care who you are in life. Everybody struggles with things. You know, it's like what Winston Churchill says, you know, the definition of history is just one damn thing after another. And it's just, how do we look at it? And do we look at it like, how can I learn from this? How can I love more? How can I be more accepting of other people and myself? And in that process, you know, then all of a sudden it's not so important what happens in the future. It's, who am I being today? And how am I impacting people and living my purpose and my dream today? I think that's a big distinction, Marcia, and I can relate to it. I remember when I was getting ready to write my first book before it came out, and I was so anxious. I thought, in 2 years when my book comes out, then I'm going to donate money to this cause, and then I'm going to feel like I'm making a difference. And what I realized is, I don't care where you are in your life. If your dream's going to take 5 years, you can live it today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how can I make a difference? And I know a lot of people on your call are driven to make a difference. So it's like, how can, even if I don't have money, right? Because, I mean, when I wrote my book, I cashed in my entire life savings. I gave up a top sales executive position at Sprint, where I was making six figures.
Wow.
So, you know, sold my house, rented one half the size, got rid of my Lexus. I downsized my life. And so what I found is, you know, instead of waiting in the future someday when I can make a difference, how can I do it today? How can I extend kindness? How can I support somebody else? How can I, just like what you did to me, how can I be that support? And what happens is, that is where the joy comes from. Larry King asked Dana Reeves if she ever got depressed because Christopher was confined to a wheelchair. And she said, of course I do. And immediately when I feel that, I look at how can I reach out and help somebody else. And she said that helping others is a surefire way to help yourself.
Beautiful.
And I think, and that's part of also my Unstoppable Women Challenge. It's like, help yourself. What's one thing that you could do every day to help yourself and to help somebody else? And when you're helping somebody else, you know, you're the one who gains, right? It's not like we're so, you know, we're so giving. It's like we receive.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful way to live.
Yes. Yeah, and are you tied in? You have a foundation, don't you, Cynthia?
I do.
Will you say just a little bit about that, and then we'll open it up for some questions.
Thank you. Good. I've done several projects. One of them, you know, this is a powerful, very quick story, is when my book came out, my husband, this is always great, a year and 3 months after my book came out, my husband and I, of 20 years, separated. And it wasn't because of the book. So I went, you know, people go, oh, my gosh, if I follow my dream, I'll get divorced, right? It wasn't about that. But I separated in December of 1999, and I was devastated. And I was at my house with my parents in Florida visiting them. And, you know, after a couple days into it, I thought, you know, I can't do something about this situation. I don't have control over it, but what I can control is how am I going to be with this? What am I going to do with my life? And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do next holiday season, but it is not going to be at my mom's house feeling sorry for myself. Came home, spoke with Millard Fuller, a dear friend of mine I met through writing his story through, he's the founder of Habitat for Humanity, and he became a wonderful mentor to me. Told him what had happened, and he said, gee, Cynthia, why don't you raise some money and build, you know, a house, right? And he had just gotten back from Nepal, and it was so beautiful. Five of the largest mountain ranges in the world are in Nepal, and yet it's one of the most impoverished nations in the world. And so I thought, gee, you know. And one thing that I learned through my work is when you have a great pain in your life, you need a greater purpose. So I thought, how many houses would I need to build
to alleviate my pain?
Exactly. And literally, Marcia, when I came up with the number 100.
Oh, Lord.
100 houses. That felt bigger than my problem. And so literally, and I was speaking, right? I was living my dream, but you know what? It wasn't enough. I needed something bigger that was beyond me. And so that whole year when I'm out there speaking, I'm sharing this Habitat for Humanity project. And the next year, I raised $200,000 in 1 year. I took 18 people to Nepal the next year, and we built the first three of the 100 homes that were built. And one of the women that we were building the house for, her name is Chandra, and she had saved money working in a cookie factory for 18 years to buy the lot in the hopes of one day building a house. And because of our efforts, she was now going to have a house for her family of eight people. And when we were leaving, she said, thank you so much. She said, please don't ever forget me.
Oh.
And I thought, forget you?
Right.
You're what got me through the most difficult year of my life.
So beautiful.
And that was the beginning of a foundation that I created. And we are involved in many projects. One of them is when you go to unstoppablewomen.com and you sign a roster, it's completely free, and say, I'm going to take one step to change my life and to make a difference in the life of another woman. Not only do you get a free jumpstart kit that's PDF to you, but for every 10 women who sign that roster, we're scholarshiping women in transitional shelters through abuse and homelessness. And the next project that we're starting in August is we're raising money, which I'm so excited that people, this whole AIDS thing in Africa is getting a lot of attention. And through Feed the Children, we're working to create a resource center for women and children in Nairobi. It's the second largest, like a city dump. I mean, it's just the largest challenging area in the world. And so we're not only going to, you know, help them get food and shelter and medicine, but also give them tools that can help empower them through creating, you know, of money and other things like that. So,
oh, gorgeous. I think what you are modeling so beautifully, Cynthia, is, and I don't mean this as an understatement, I mean it as the highest compliment, mm-hmm. but you and I, we're ordinary women.
Right.
We're ordinary women who
Absolutely.
Have made the commitment to live an extraordinary life, and so many members of the Dream Circle community are like that as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, not everybody has a Mother Teresa dream.
Right.
And thank God many people do, because the world certainly needs all of these dreams that will heal and transform.
Right.
But it really begins with, as you're saying, that single step, you know, a vision, a passion, something that matters to
mm-hmm.
you, and then taking that step to demonstrate, you know, that you believe in your dream or you believe in this cause.
Right.
And I think you're modeling it so beautifully. Okay, let's open the calls. Anybody who's listening, if you're in an area with a noisy background, please hit *6 to mute out your background noise. And then when you want to ask a question, just hit *6 to unmute out the line, and we'll be able to hear you. So give me 1 second, I'll open the line. And if you have a question for Cynthia or anything you might want to ask me, but mostly her since we're so lucky to have us with us, anything about being unstoppable, about anything she's spoken about something you're struggling with or a dream that you're working on, this is your opportunity. Just say your name and where you're calling from. There go the phones. Click, click, click. Somebody's got a pretty hissy background, and if somebody would just step up. People always wait till the last minute, and we run out of time.
Hi. This is Janet from Michigan.
Hey, Janet.
Hi. Cynthia, I'm on your website right now, and I think you're absolutely adorable.
Oh, thank you.
And I love your voice.
Thank you so much.
There's a Chinese proverb
mm-hmm.
that says, "The temptation to quit will be the greatest just before you are about to succeed."
Right.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I think so often people mistake failure for success. And let me give you a great example of that. I had this 30-day challenge,
mm-hmm.
and this woman had a goal to promote within her organization in 30 days. And so she's taking her single step. She's staying in action. Mm-hmm. Day 30 came, and the result was not what she wanted to. She said she was depressed. She felt like quitting. But she picked herself up and she thought, I'm committed to taking this one step and I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to stay in action. By day 45, she became one of the top, everything came in, right? All of the fruits of her labor came in. She was a top 25 income producer. She won an incentive trip. She had the best 45 days of her career
wow.
in 5 years of being with this company. And so, you know, was she a failure on day 30? No, it just needed time to come to fruition. So I think you're absolutely right. So often, you know, I love this saying, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence.
Ooh, I love that.
Do you love it? So it's like whatever our circumstances look like today doesn't represent what's true in that possibility. And if we stay in action and we resist the urge to quit, ultimately, that's where we create transformation, and that's where we make our dreams come true. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Cynthia Janet is in her second half of life and training for, is it a triathlon, Janet?
Yes.
Awesome. Who are you doing that with?
Myself.
All right. Oh, my gosh. Good for you.
I mean, are you running an Ironman or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, no, it's nothing. No, it's a sprint triathlon.
Sprint triathlon.
Do you have a trainer? Are you training with people?
Oh, yes, I do have a trainer.
Okay,
I'm with my trainer 3 days a week.
Perfect.
And I bicycle with my husband 1 day a week, and mm-hmm. I swim and run 2 days a week.
Awesome. And can I ask how old are you?
I'm 57.
57, and you're running a triathlon?
Yes, I'm swimming.
Running, biking, and
running,
swimming.
Running, bike, hitting in the triathlon.
I am. Swim, bike, run.
You go, girl.
I will. Thank
That's
you.
Very exciting.
And Cynthia, just to give you an idea of, I mean, that we have such phenomenal members in our
mm-hmm.
community. Janet was in a terrible car accident and told she would never walk.
Wow.
It's a little thing she admitted from the story.
Yeah.
So, Janet, when's the date of the actual event?
It's August 21st, month from Thursday.
Okay, I'm putting it on my calendar. I'll be in Seattle that weekend leading a workshop, but make sure that you're on the call with us Tuesday the 23rd to let us know what happened.
I will do that.
That's
Thanks.
Powerful, Janet.
Thanks.
God bless you and have a wonderful experience.
It will be. Thanks.
Yes,
so another question, comment, thought for Cynthia.
Hi, this is Teresa from San Diego.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Cynthia. Well, I probably want to tell you a little history. About a month ago, I joined the Dream Circle, and one of the things, I was on a call with Marcia, and I was talking about losing weight. I don't know if Marcia remembers
I remember.
Me. Yeah, and so one of the steps she told me to take was that half an hour of, we usually have an hour lunch, and go ahead and walk, you know, and then either eat before or after. So I started to do that, but I just wanted to share with you, Marcia, as well, that the momentum of me making that small impact has incorporated now. We have a walking club.
Oh, so this is exactly what Cynthia's talking about.
Yeah.
First step. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, and I think it's just, you know, like I said, is sharing it with the buddy and having
right.
a partner accountable.
Yes.
So I'm just so excited that now we're implementing it. I work for the County of San Diego of, you know, better health. You know, now it's, I think that's why they say obesity is on the rise, and you hear
yes.
so much and how sedative employees can be when you're just 8 hours sitting there.
Right.
So looking at other avenues of also having nutritionists come on board, coming to our, you know, doing brow bag lunches. And so we're looking at a slew of resources to come in and give us information on how we can better feel. And, you know, and I think the morale itself has gone up tremendously because I supervise 14 people. But I just wanted to just share with Marcia, thank you again for, you know, giving me that information and me running with it. I think that's the thing is the action part.
Yeah. You're welcome. And Cynthia, we did exactly what you said, you know, the struggle of losing weight. We hear it so often. And we just said, what's something that we will, you know, you will do this week? Something to set yourself up for success. Because one of the things I'm curious to hear your comment on this, Cynthia. One of the things that I hear is, or I see, is we don't dream big dreams because at a certain level, we don't trust ourselves.
Yeah.
And we don't trust ourselves because we often don't keep our agreements with
exactly.
ourselves. So as we say, okay, I'm going to do this, and that's why I love that we're talking about simple steps. Take
yeah.
that one simple, practical, important step.
Right.
You know, I'm curious, you know, how you address people about building greater trust in themselves and, you know, and how that first step can actually help build greater
right.
self-confidence.
It does. Well, you know, whenever we overcome and we do something that we didn't think was possible, we create a success imprint. And that sends a message to our psyche that says, we can do something. We are worthy. And conversely, every time we don't do something we say we're going to do, it sends a failure imprint to our psyche. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I don't want to create more of those
right.
in my life. And one of the most powerful ways to honor your word to yourself is to create a structure that you can't get out of.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, again, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Why do all of these amazing achievers have coaches? I was told a story about Tiger Woods, and I didn't verify the authenticity. I went to his website to see if this was true. But
yeah.
he had a coach, and he was just, you know, the first few years of his career, he was doing enormously well. And then I was told that he had a falling out with his coach, and he started losing. Now, here he is, a world-class athlete at the top of his game. And when he got another coach involved in his life again, he took it to another level. And so if a world-class athlete needs a coach, do you
maybe I do.
What's that?
Maybe I do, too.
Yeah. And maybe if you can't afford a coach, get a partner, get a buddy. You know, create some pain if you don't show up, if you don't do something. What's it going to cost you? How can you reward yourself, and how can you create a consequence if you don't?
Love that.
It's simple, but it makes all the difference in the world. In my program with the 30-Day Challenge, people tell me one of the most powerful things is the accountability. You have a call, you have a partner, you have to send in a weekend review, you have to send in your story. It's just that it's not like, you know, as a coach you try to give people a bunch of busy work. Is there for a reason, and I know it's myself, if I don't create accountability, I won't do it. It's as simple as that.
I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know, successful people.
And we do this for a living.
And if we do it for a living and we're busy, you know,
yeah.
it would be easy to say, well, you know, I'm so busy, but,
right.
you know, how can we not do it? Another question,
right.
comment, or thought for Cynthia?
Yes, this is Helen Burton. From
Hi,
New Jersey.
Helen.
Hi, Cynthia.
I
How
know
are
you.
Oh,
I love
I'm so
that.
Excited.
How are you? She
I'm
was
fantastic.
One of my readers for my book,
I love
Unstoppable
that.
Women.
Yes.
She read it before it was published.
Oh, well, welcome.
Hi. I just want to say that your 90-day Unstoppable program is fantastic.
Thank you.
And that's how I live my life.
Uh-huh.
I just retired from my job that I worked for 25 years.
Wow.
And now I'm doing retirement coaching. I'm working with people who are going to retire.
How perfect is that?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Where in New York are you from?
I'm from New Jersey.
Oh, from New Jersey?
From
okay.
Princeton area.
Oh, I was just up there.
Yes, I know.
Oh, okay.
And
well, are you doing work with the Girl Scouts?
No, I...
Or the coaches?
I saw you at the PACA event.
And Cynthia, if you haven't spoken to them, that would be a great group for you, the Philadelphia Coaches Association.
Oh, really? Okay, good. Yeah. I'd love to do that.
And so I want to ask you on behalf of Cynthia, what's one of the things that you have been practicing in her program that's really had an impact in your life?
When I have a goal, like I have a goal right now, that I am taking the steps to make that goal a reality. Like I am really committed that I will have a very thriving practice. So what I've been doing is meeting with people, you know, financial advisors and different people, like every day. And we have formed a woman support group. We've also, with a financial advisor, I'm working with her to do workshops and groups to work with women not to be afraid of finances and that you can accomplish anything you want.
Beautiful. Gosh, Helen, I'm so glad you said hello. I'm proud of you. I'm excited for your retirement, and I'm really excited about now you're moving into another phase,
great,
which is coaching other people in retirement. How beautiful
right.
is that?
Yes, it's fantastic.
Awesome.
Yes.
Great to hear from you.
Thanks, and I'll send you an email, and let's stay in touch.
Please do. I would really appreciate that.
We love Thanks. That. It's a little reunion.
It is. But it's a community of unstoppable people. We're all committed to growth.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes our jobs and our lives so exciting.
Absolutely. Another question or comment for Cynthia?
I have one.
Yes.
This is Patty from Arizona.
Hey, Patty.
And I was just at a convention, Marcia, where you spoke, at the Sensaria convention.
Love that.
It was my first one. I've been in the business since January. I'm also a realtor. And believe me, balancing the two is quite difficult, but I'm ready for the challenge. My issue is I need advice from both of you. I'd love to ditch the realtor career, but it happens to be my bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
I am rabid, I would say, a zealot about Sensaria, and I just need to have the courage to step up because I don't know that the two can combine. And I'll tell you, Marcia, dreams are something I don't do. I have a to-do list, and when you said that, I actually started crying in the audience because I thought, when was the last time I even had a dream? And my dream is very simple, and I have it written in my office, and it says to love what I do.
Beautiful.
And right now I don't. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have to work. There's no way around it. And I love to work.
Mm-hmm.
I want to love what I do. So just some advice or encouragement from two people who are, you know, have been there, changed their lives. Being unstoppable to me is a strong statement,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be that, and I think I can be, but I also have to, you know, let go of some security along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So advice, I'm open, I'm teachable.
Teachable about unstoppable. Cynthia, after you.
Okay. Well, you know, I did the same thing. I was working in corporate America, but in my family, I made clearly the lion's share. So I couldn't just quit at that point. And so it was a process. So first off, we got out of debt. We downsized our lives. And so I didn't have to make that six-figure career. My husband left his job the year before I did. So literally, I supported him with the job while he started a new business. And then the next year, I quit my job, and he was supporting us on a brand new business, which wasn't a very great idea. But my point in this is that it is a process. So, you know, when I was working at Sprint, I took classes. I joined the National Speakers Association. I educated myself. I worked on my skills and got to the point where I was able to leave my job. And it wasn't overnight. It was really over a couple of years. It was a process.
And also, I want to add to it, I wholeheartedly encourage you to listen to the recorded talk, the Dream Talk from David Bach, who is the author of Automatic Millionaire.
Oh,
he speaks a lot about this. Yeah, very similar things. I mean, none of us want to just dive off of a diving board into an empty pool. And I think what Cynthia is talking about is really filling the swimming pool. And, you know, sometimes I think the reality check is first to see how much money do you really need. Because
right.
in our minds, we need much more than we actually do. And when you're working for yourself, it's a whole different thing than when you're working for someone else, a whole different tax world, a whole different level of expenses, and just a whole different way of living. So I think to realistically look at what is, you know, how much do you need to make in order to be able to live comfortably, you know, and maybe it's, you know, first it's to live, then it's to live comfortably, and then it's to live a dream come true life, because it can be phased in. But I think that I want to say this. I want to say that life is short, and that ultimately at the end, I think what's really going to matter is, did you live your life? Did you spend as much time as possible doing the things that really made you happy? And there was a time in life, I remember when I was closing down my business, my marketing company, and I didn't know what I wanted to do next, but I was willing to do anything to not keep being completely obsessed by work. I was willing to wait tables. I was willing to go do freelance photography. I mean, it never came to that for me, but I was willing to. And I think that sometimes when you have a career that's very consuming, like real estate, or I hear this a lot from lawyers, it's really hard to sit down and figure out what your dreams are, much less figure out how to make them happen. So anyway, I think you're hearing here, it's the step approach to get really clear about what your dream is, to get clear about how much you actually need, and then really explore and maybe set up for yourself a transition plan.
I have all good ideas. I'll do each one of them.
Yeah. Cynthia, any last closing comment you want to make before I do a quick, just a few closing announcements? Our time flew by here.
Yes.
I didn't mean to be abrupt there. I just all of a sudden I looked down like, oh my goodness, the time flew by. Cynthia, any closing comments and also anything you want to say about your website or any products that you want people to know about?
Well, I just want to encourage people that it's never too late to pursue a dream, to pursue something in your life that gives you great meaning and excitement and satisfaction. And clearly by being a part of Marcia's group, you're all on that track. And I think if you could go to my website, unstoppable.net or unstoppablewomen.com, we have some free resources to support you, along with my books, Unstoppable and Unstoppable Women, and the 30-Day Challenge is now available on audio CD. So we're all into creating resources and role models that will inspire you to stay in action. So I invite you to come and join me just to peruse and take advantage of the resources. And I'm excited that you're all on a path. I believe in you. I know Marcia believes in you. And as you continue to stay focused on what you want and why you want it, and you refuse to quit, ultimately you will achieve your dreams and you will be unstoppable. So God bless all of you. Thank you so much, Marcia. I really appreciate it.
Cynthia, I love your passion. I love your clarity. You offered so much insight and wisdom today. The hour just absolutely flew by. And we're just going to have to have you back. Will you come back on another time?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Cynthia
and I have made a pact as colleagues that we're going to support each other. I'm going to help her get an article in Women's Day, and she's helping me get some speaking engagements, and we're helping each other,
yeah,
which is another thing that we're really all about.
Yeah.
I want to let you know, next Tuesday, we have a fabulous speaker. Lynn Robinson is an expert in divine intuition. She's written several books on the topic. She's a master of intuition and prosperity thinking. The first Tuesday of every month is always me, except August 2nd, I will be leading the Dream Coach Certification Program, which is sold out. If you want to become a certified dream coach, you'll have to wait till January, but you want to sign up soon for that. It always sells out. But we're so lucky. August 2nd, Tim Kelly is going to be on. Tim is an expert at helping people find their soul's purpose. I got massive email after he was on last time. He helps so many people really go deeper into knowing who they are. And then the following Tuesday, Andy O'Brien is going to talk about persistence and overcoming obstacles. Andy is one of the founders of audiomotivation.com. So I want to remind you that every Thursday we have the Dream Coach Action Line, where we have masterful people who are on deck available to help realize your dreams. This Thursday, Diane Lindner, who's a psychologist who helps people get more passionate about their work. And the following Thursday is Terry Jacopoulos. Terry's facilitated for me at two Dream Coaches, and she's brilliant. She's has a background in law and financing and can really help you break through. And the following Thursday, Lynn Engelholm, who just wrote a fabulous new book about connecting to your passion. So the bottom line is, my Dream Circle is a place where you can get unlimited resources and the ongoing support to help you on making any dreams come true.